Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. We come seeking you, Lord. The things of you, fill our lives with them, Lord. Lord, one of the songs we sang talked about being lost in your love. What an amazing thing to be lost in your love. To where the shadows of everything else, it just disappears, Lord. Fill us today with your Spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill this house with your presence, Lord. This is your house. Reach into our hearts. Have your way here this morning, Lord. May the words that are spoken be your words. May you be glorified in everything we do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how's everybody doing? Wonderful. Somebody said wonderful. Wonderful. Full of wonder. Actually, that word has more than one meaning, doesn't it? Hallelujah. When I was in the Air Force back in the late 60s, I was stationed at Travis Air Force Base in California. Even though the Vietnam War was going on, I got to serve the entire time stateside, which I don't know how that happened, but I wasn't complaining. Anyway, while stationed there at Travis, I knew a lady in town. She had a little boy. And he was like, little boys used to be. I don't know. I think now that they spend so much time on their computers and everything that they're not that active as they should be. But he was very active. And it seemed like he was always falling down, scraping his knee or cutting himself. And I remember his mother saying, "It bled real good." What'd she mean by that? She meant that anything that he picked up in that cut or that scrape, the blood would wash it out. And I saw that an awful lot in our songs this morning. It bled real good. Because Jesus' blood bled real good, didn't it? It does cleanse us. And it does a lot more than that. We're going to be talking about the blood today. Today is Communion Sunday, of course, and we're going to be partaking of that which represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe that it magically becomes Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." He didn't say that it becomes him. It's a remembrance of him. There was a time when it was a remembrance of Exodus and what happened. But everything in Exodus, everything the Passover represented, everything about the Passover was pointing to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Everything. All the sacrifices did. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Yes, we're to remember the sacrifice, the Passover, and yes, we're to remember what God did. But most important is to remember what Jesus did. Leviticus 17:11 was our opening scripture. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." What happened? There it is. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Romans 5:6-11. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's us, isn't it? "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, the covering of our sins. It's a lot more than that, actually. You look at that word atonement, and I think I've mentioned this before. That's not going to stop me from mentioning it again. If you look at that word closely, you can also see that it also, if you break it down, it's at one meant, which means we're reconciled with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it covers our sins, but it brings us back into that relationship with God. Many people believe that science and the Bible can't coexist. But yet there's an awful lot of scientific truth in the Bible. Seems like as time goes on, we discover that more and more, just how true and right the Bible is. If you go to the book of Job, Job is probably the oldest book of the Bible. I believe it is. Lose my microphone. There it is. It says in the book of Job that he hangs the earth on nothing. Now, that was quite a concept back then, wasn't it? And maybe a different, there we go. Well, it figures, doesn't it? We're talking about the blood, so what the enemy's going to try to stop it. Well, he's not going to stop us, is he? Isaiah chapter 40 says, he sits above the circle of the earth. Does that mean the earth is round? I believe so, too. Is this one working? Oh, that sounds even better. He sits above the circle of the earth. Where was I? Amos chapter 5, verse 8. In the King James Version, it says, it talks about the seven stars of Orion. Some translations say, instead of seven stars, they say Pleiades. The reason for that is there is only six stars. Guess what they discovered recently? The seventh star. Gee, who'd have thunk it? See, God knew that. He knew how many stars there were. Children of Israel were told to circumcise their children on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Vitamin K. It's the highest of it's ever going to be on the eighth day of somebody's life. The children of Israel were told not to have sexual intercourse during a woman's monthly impurity. Well, they've discovered that at that time the cervix is dilated and it's open more and more open to infection. Washing under running water. Talks about that in Leviticus 14:7. In fact, it says seven times to wash under running water. Elisha told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River seven times. Gee, I wonder where he got that. Running water. Doctors used to go into hospitals and they would work on one patient. And then they'd wash their hands in a basin and they'd wash on another. It was the same water because they had the same stuff in it. But no, running water. Doctors used to go into a hospital. This was back in the 1800s, late 1800s. It wasn't that long ago. They'd go into a hospital and they would go to the basement and look at the dead bodies and try to determine what killed them. Then they'd go up and deliver babies. They discovered something. Germs. Amazing. God gave them a microscope to take a closer look, I guess, huh? Not touching dead bodies. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Why? Because of germs. We didn't know that. It talks about quarantining. We know we're hearing a lot about quarantining right now, aren't we? It talks about the unclean animals. It mentions the hair. It says the hair is unclean because it chews its cud. Rabbits don't chew their cud. Actually, what they do is they defecate and then they eat that. So actually, in a way, they do, don't they? It's argued that Egyptian knowledge was very advanced. And Acts 7:22 tells us that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Israel. Does that mean they had all that scientific medical knowledge? Actually, a lot of their remedies were based on superstition, based for the most part on the gods they worshipped. An example of a remedy is smashed flies mixed with cat urine. So no, they weren't really very advanced, were they? Why do I say all this? Because the answers are in the Bible, aren't they? Leviticus 17:11. I'm going to read it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's quite a statement. For 3,500 years ago, isn't it? The life of the flesh. They thought that the blood was the cause of all their problems, all their illnesses. They thought it was an awful thing. They would even bloodletting, using leeches, trying to pull the blood out. In Genesis chapter 4, we see the first mention of blood in the killing of Abel by Cain. God said, his blood cries to me from the ground. The blood cries to God? The blood speaks to God? Blood. Strong's Concordance says it's number 1818. The word is Dam, D-A-M. First time you see that in the Bible, it's in a name, Adam, which means first blood. Hebrew tradition says that the word blood in the Bible is plural. Maybe because if you look at the Strong's Concordance, it talks about drops, one of the definitions for it. But it could mean something else. There could be another reason to call it plural. Who did Cain kill? Abel? He killed not just Abel, but all of Abel's descendants. Was this an attempt by the devil to kill the promised seed of Eve? I'm certain it was. Okay, so let's take a closer look at the blood. Number one, blood is a precious substance. What would we do without it, right? Let's look at its purpose. The blood is liquid tissue, and because it is, it's the only tissue in the body that is mobile. It moves. While other liquids are limited to certain areas of the body, the blood reaches every cell of the body. There are about 5 quarts of blood in your body. The blood travels through your body every 23 seconds. That's pretty fast, isn't it? That's miles. As it travels through your body, it carries oxygen and nutrients to each cell, bringing life as it travels. There is life in the blood. At the same time, this blood also removes the waste products from the cell. But the waste never contaminates the good things the blood carries with it. It's kind of like eating lunch off of a garbage truck. That doesn't work too well, but yet God is able to make it work in our bodies, isn't he? The blood of Jesus does the same thing, doesn't it? It feeds us, but it also cleanses us. It's really pretty amazing. The blood also at the same time provides white blood cells to defend against outside invaders and to aid in healing. Jesus' blood also does the same thing. It protects us. There's a lot more that the blood does, like carrying antibodies and antitoxins, but these are just a few examples to show us just how vital the blood is to our existence. Okay, let's look at the power. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, right? The power of the blood in the human body is so great that an infection in the bloodstream can infect the whole body. And if you lose too much blood, you can die. The blood is necessary to physical life, but it's also necessary to spiritual life, isn't it? The major difference, though, is that for physical life, our own blood is required. For spiritual life, it has to be the blood of another. Number two, blood is a provided substance. Who provides it? Every good and perfect gift. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that the Lord is the one who has given us the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. He's the creator of the blood, and he's also the author and finisher of our faith. Where was it provided? The place God mentions is the altar, a place associated with death and suffering. Of course, this pointed forward to another altar where a sacrifice was made. That altar was the cross. Why was it provided? Once again, Leviticus 17:11. I have given it, the blood, to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. As I mentioned, atonement means to cover. It's a means of reconciling us with God. Sin separates us from God. Because of sin, we are alienated from him. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He won't have anything to do with us because of that sin. But being the loving God he is, he provided a remedy, didn't he? Does God want to have fellowship with us? Yeah. That's why he created us. How important is it to him to have fellowship with us? Romans 5:8 said, but God, don't you love those words? But God. Where was I? Where was I headed? But God. Anyway, Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He'll do that. Number three, blood is a powerful substance. The blood covers sin. The blood was given to make atonement to cover sin. When the blood was applied to the altar, God saw the blood and not the sin. In the book of Numbers, we meet a very interesting person named Balaam. He was called to curse the children of Israel. They were still traveling. They were wandering. And they had landed in Moab. And the king of Moab called Balaam to come down and to curse the children of Israel because they were camped right outside his door. And they covered the whole ground. So Balaam came down. He went up on a high mountain. He told Balak, the king of Moab, he said, I can't curse what God has blessed. I can only say the words that God tells me to say. And several times he tried to curse them and he couldn't. But he said in 23:21, God hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He doesn't see sin in them. And yet we read about them and then, well, actually, they're probably a lot like us, aren't they? But God didn't see the sin. Why not? Because of the blood. They were under the blood the same way we're under the blood. God doesn't see our sin because of that blood. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice had to be repeated over and over. But the sacrifice of Jesus was so much more powerful, it only had to be done once. You can read about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. The blood changes or converts the sinner. In the Old Testament, when the sacrifice was made, nothing changed in the person's life. He remained the same. But when a person comes to Jesus by faith and is saved by grace, he's changed forever, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New King James Version says he's a new creation. We're born again. That didn't happen in the Old Testament, did it? I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. I've given it to you. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've given it to you. This morning, we're going to remember that sacrifice. The Lord wants us to come with a clean heart. He wants us to come with no anger, with no ought against our brothers. But he also mostly wants us to come in the relationship with him. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements for communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23-32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I'm just going to ask everybody just to take the time and, like I said, examine yourself. Basically, you're judging yourself. If you see anything in there that you need to talk to God about, that's exactly what you should do. Just take it to God. Place it before Him. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So just take a few minutes and speak to God. Did everybody get served? Did we miss anybody? No. The Lord Jesus, the same night at which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that you gave, that was broken for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. You may eat the bread. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed for us, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that nourishes us, the blood that protects us and heals us, Lord. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And he is coming, isn't he?
Y'all want to stand and stretch a little? Good, isn't it? Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation and the price you had to pay to purchase it. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us back from where we were and where we're headed, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are new creations in you. Lord, we just pray that you'd walk with us and walk in us and just be every part of everything we do. Lord, be with each person here today. Bless their lives, bless their day, Lord. And bring us back safe, Lord, when we meet again. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Cake and ice cream.